From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable, talking a little bit of part two on the OTAs, a carryover from a couple of weeks ago. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Coming off on our bye week, last week we had the bye week. I was on vacation, and it's been a hell of a time coming back to talk sports all week long with the baseball, the hockey, the NBA, and now to talk about our own team a little bit. And a lot of different things going on with the Giants. A lot of good, some not so good. But not just on the field, but just life in general. I'll talk about a little bit of all that as well, and some stuff like that. Real quick stuff. The Yankees episode that we did on Monday. That was a good dialogue. That was fresh off the Detroit series, the doubleheader, and we was joined with the Michigan Sports Truth podcast, and check that episode out on BleedBlueShow.com. And then, of course, talking Stanley Cup Finals, the Capitals and the Vegas Golden Knights, as we get ready for a game five between the Capitals and the Golden Knights. So that episode is also on BleedBlueShow.com, and also Knickerbocker Avenue. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum talking NBA Finals. As of right now, that series is about to be a wrap anyway. So that's pretty much all well and done, and pretty much over. Real quick with the football squad, because some things that just caught to my attention because of the, I think what's really important when it comes to with the game of life in general. The Dave Gettleman with diagnosed with the lymphoma, and so I don't know how that's going to play within the organization. I think that's probably something they kept behind the scenes for a while, but and I see that it hits home with a lot of fans, just life in general, because we all know everybody who has known someone to have some sort of diagnostic when it comes to the cancer. So, we'll see how that goes with that, with the treatment and then all the executive decisions that have to be made from that post. And of course, with the OTAs, with all the NFL teams going through this right now, everybody getting acclimated with the teammates, and there's no more rookie stuff, not necessarily full training camp, but just the organized training and stuff, being all together, having a good time. Earlier this week, there was that Giants town hall at the Beacon Hall, and I got to see a little bit of that. And it is what it is for what it was. And I'll definitely sound off on what I heard from the owner, John Mara, and then all the other stuff too, like with our own players, because of the punter situation, the kicker situation in particular, is not as clean or crisp as I think it could be. But also, when it comes to other players that is being really inspired, like the backup quarterback, Davis Webb, Kyle Lauletta, Will Hernandez is getting a lot of praise as far as the rookie stuff at the OTAs, man. Just everybody getting in their action in. So I'll dive into like a little bit of all that as well. So right off the bye week here on the Big Blue Roundtable. Let's talk with the stakeholders. Just talking sports. Let's see. Let's go to, I believe that's Steve. And let's bring on Steve. That's Giants fans in LA. Just Steve, what's going on? How you doing? You have an announcement that you'd like to share with the stakeholders. What's going on, man? How's everything?
Good. It's been a while. Just wanted to let people know that I have 20 group tickets to the Giants 49ers game, which is a Monday night game. That's the bad side. The good side is it is Veterans Day, so some people will have off that day and take the opportunity, because that Levi's Stadium is a great stadium, and it's going to be at night, so the issue with that stadium really is the sun. which is not going to have that issue on Monday night. It's a great stadium. It's great for tailgating. We're going to have, I have 20 tickets, and I'm going to drive up and do a tailgate. So, and the group tickets are discounted, so they sold them to me for $75 each. These are $129 face value tickets that the 49ers are selling if you buy them as a group. Like I said, I bought 20 tickets, and I'm going to do a tailgate in the parking lot. So if someone wants to come, wherever you're coming, you come on down, you want a ticket and a tailgate, I'm putting it together for $100. And whatever money I don't spend on the tailgate, whatever money I have excess, I'm just going to divide it evenly and give it back to people. So hopefully it will end up being costing less than that in the end. So if anyone gets to get in contact with me, I guess I can give my email address. It's sohsie@hotmail.com, or you can just look up Giants Fans in L.A. and you'll find me, or you can tweet at me, Giants Fans in L.A. You can tweet at me or DM me, and I'll get in contact with you. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. You know, the 49ers look very good at the end of the year with Garoppolo. The Giants hopefully are going to be much better. So unlike last year when this was a terrible game and no one wanted tickets and they were cheap, my guess is that this year it's going to be a pretty hot ticket, and you're not going to be able to get better deals on StubHub.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Composing a get-together tailgate. What are the details? You have any details, or that's more to come when it comes to the tailgate aspect?
The basic details are going to be, you know, I already have the parking pass in the lot, the same lot that you got that the frontliners were in last year. And obviously, I don't know where I'm, you know, to park until I get there. So basically, the details are, in terms of the tickets, I'll email you the ticket when I get it, so you don't have to worry about that. And in terms of the tailgate, I'm not going to cook anything. I'm just going to do like make your own deli sandwiches. I'll just bring a bunch of deli and food and sides and desserts and alcohol, beer, and probably some other alcohol and non-alcoholic drinks. So you have plenty of food, plenty of drinks. And, you know, as soon as I park, I'm going to drive up that day. As soon as I park in the lot, I'll just email and text everybody, like, here's where I am. I'll take pictures, and you'll be able to find us. And from last year when I was trying to coordinate a few people to try to find the frontliners van. It's pretty successful when I took the pictures. People told me that they were able to find it based on the text pretty easily. So that's basically the details. I have it listed on the Giants Fans in LA website, and if you want to PayPal me, you can PayPal me at the email address. I also have a link on the website that you can just link and pay for it that way. You know, the more people that I get to sign up, I can buy more tickets. I'm like basically putting myself on the line and buying the tickets now. You know. And but I'm going to take that chance. But if the more people who sign up now, the easier it'll be to get more tickets. If you wait till the end, I'm not going to be able to buy more tickets. They'll be gone. I mean, the guy told me, like, out of that 200, we're going to be on the 200 level. We'll be in section 202, which is behind the end zone. It's not the best part of the second level, but it is the second level. Just to give you perspective, last year the group sales wanted to sell me tickets on the upper level for $150 each. So the 49ers have really like come down in terms of what they're charging for group sales. What was I going to tell you? But the guy told me already, he was like, I only got 83 group tickets left for that game on the 200 level. So that's why I just said, okay, I'll go buy them now. So, you know, if you want in on this, do it now, because if you wait till the last minute, it's going to be 20 tickets and that's it. I won't be able to get any more.
And that Monday night game will be November 12th, I believe.
November 12th, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. That's right. About the same time last year for that game, I believe.
Yeah, about the same time.
Yeah.
And you can tell people what a nice stadium. I mean, you were there. You can tell people what a nice stadium is and what a great experience it is.
Yeah.
The 49ers are so nice about tailgating. I mean, it's really great. You know, they're really hands-off and let people just do what they want to do.
Experience of remember even last year after the game when the Giants did lose, like it was all like, I would say love, but they were cool. Like did a little bit of hanging out like in that area, that little what's it? It's not really the parking lot. Well, we did a little bit in the parking lot, but you know over there where that DJ was.
There was the parking lot, and then there was a hotel next to the stadium. That's where we ended up, and they had their own little party with food and alcohol there as well. They had music. I don't remember anymore, but they had a lot of people hanging out there after the game, so that was really nice too. And you know, the fans there, these aren't Raiders fans. I mean, they're nice people. They're just there to, you know, they're there to root on the 49ers and enjoy themselves. They're not there to, like, you know, get into fights with people or get upset. You know, they're really good fans. It's a wonderful stadium. If you've not been to that stadium, you should take the chance to go out. And like I said, the one downside of that stadium is during the day, if you're sitting in the sun, it's boiling and it's blinding. But it, you know, this year it's a Monday night game. That's not going to be an issue. But otherwise, it's really. I mean, it's sad. I've not been to. I can't remember what they call Giant Stadium anymore. But what do we call our own stadium?
MetLife.
I've never been to MetLife, but you know, I've read, like, you know, not the greatest reviews of it, and I just look at the stadium. I'm like, I wish they could have built that in New Jersey, but. You know, it is what it is, but it's definitely one of the stadiums some want, you know, get a chance to go to. It's a really nice stadium.
I totally agree, man. Levi Stadium is definitely a top 10 stadium in the league, absolutely. And it's kind of almost like college atmosphere-ish in the sense of it's easy to get in and out. The tailgates were pretty fun. It just had that section with that hotel. That's right. It was that hotel that was next to it, and we were outside that. I remember there was a DJ, and they were playing music. Everybody was just kind of hanging out, chilling after the game. Well, after the game, like a few hours after the game. So yeah. So this is good information, man, because I definitely understand putting a package together and trying to do something great for the fans, and you going out of your way using your own resources to do that. It shows a lot of character, man, fan character. And I totally understand the lot of the effort that goes into doing that, man. So much respect, man. And so we'll definitely put that out there. And then, like Steve said, all the information, hit them up on the email. 20 group tickets going for about $75 each. And you said that in the tailgates, how much again?
Altogether, it's $100. So $75 for the ticket and $25 for the tailgate.
Gotcha.
And like I said, whatever I don't spend, I'm going to just divide it up and whoever shows up and give it back to them. I'm not making any money off this. This is just, you know, if I spend $20 a person, everyone will get $5 back.
Exactly. Yeah, this is great stuff, man. This is pretty dope, man. Thank you for even just putting it together for Giants fans going out to that game, because there's going to be several. So we'll definitely get people all get to your group tickets, and y'all can have a nice, great powwow for that Monday night game, man. Absolutely.
No problem. I'm hopeful. I hope we'll have a great group, just like last year. Last year was great, and I hope this year will be great too. And it's nice to sit with your fellow fans. I mean, I know people like to just wait till the last minute and buy it on StubHub, and I do that all the time. But you know, I've organized an outing to the Chargers game in 2013 where we had close to 300 people. We had like close to 300 people sitting. Well, we were actually in three different sections, but we had like 150 one section and then split among the others. But it's really different when you're there with people that you were hanging out with and then at the game with them. I mean, it's really a different experience than kind of, you know, just tailgating and then like, okay, everyone's on their own. I mean, it's really nice to be able to sit together during the game as well. And I've done it with Mets-Dodgers games. I haven't done that for a while. The same thing. I've had outings of, you know, 50 to 100 people. And it's really nice when you're there with your fellow fans rooting together. And so I have experience putting these together if anyone's worried about that. Like, I've done this before on a much grander scale. So I will take care of you. And I've had issues like people forget to print out their tickets. And then I like brought like this Chargers game, like 300 pieces of paper. I was like, okay, let me find your ticket, because you weren't smart enough to print it out before you got here. And I mean, I have crazy people that died. I had like guys, like I had a car accident this morning. I can't go to the game, and I managed to find someone to take their tickets. So I'm on top of stuff. So you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You definitely are organized when it comes to that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Real quick before we bring on Bakes from the Frontliners and then Worm, let me say this, though. I was at that game in 2013. We got destroyed. Had I known you guys were out there, we would have. Had I known you at that time, we would definitely have been linked up and hanged out in the gaslight district, whatever it's called in San Diego. I remember
gas
that
lamp,
was a game
yeah.
later in the season. Yeah, I remember that was a game later in the season. That was a rough road trip that year.
Oh, that was an awful game. That was awful. We had like a professional tailgate for that one. Like I there was a member of our group who actually does this stuff for the living, and she had like professional do it, and we had. I mean, over 300 people at that tailgate. This is not going to be professional for services. This could just be me bringing food, doing it myself. On my own.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Steve, thank you for the information. Like you said, for the Monday night game, 20 group tickets by Steve. Get in contact with him, the email address, and also if you got to DM him. So get out there. He said $75 for the 200 level ticket at Levi Stadium, and then also an extra $25 for the tailgate out there for the
right.
Monday night game versus the 49ers, man. Monday night
yep.
on November 12th. All right, hold
so
on. Steve.
Just
we're
remind people.
Back around.
Okay.
Go ahead. Say what? No, say
I was
it.
Just
going to
say. Just remind the email is sohsie@hotmail.com, and then
uh-huh.
the Twitter is Giants Fans in LA, and the website is www.giantsfansinla.com.
All right, cool. All right, that's all the information. So you stay right there. Got some questions on the OTAs for you. Let's go to the big
okay.
stuff from the frontliners. Frontliners NYG on Twitter. NYG Frontliners on Instagram. Bakes, it's been a minute. How you doing, sir? Talking Giants football. You know what, Bakes? I was just watching. And we're going to go to Worman and get the Ray and then get everybody else on. But, Bakes, I was just watching 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I was just watching Giants versus Packers NFC Championship game in 2007 right before this episode. So I'm kind of like, damn, let's get back to that kind of football. What's up, Bakes?
Yeah, man. That was a great year. That was a great year. That was an interesting year for your boy. But we won't talk about that. But I'm good, man. What's up there, everybody? Shout out to stakeholders, man. Hollis boy in the building. You know how we do. So real happy to be here. I was really hyped to talk last week, but we were on hiatus, which was needed. But I'm glad I'm here to talk football and just want to get into it, man.
Okay. Yeah, bring those topics to the table, man. We'll get into that. Let's go to the Worm, man. Worm, what's going on? Big Blue Roundtable OTAs Part Deuce. Got the topics lined up. Steve from L.A. And Bakes from the Frontliners. And then we'll get the Ray and then this dialogue popping. Worm, what's up?
What's going on? How you been?
I got a lot of questions for you, sir. On this episode.
I'm finally at night that I'm not on a baseball field working a game. It's nice to be back with family.
Nice.
Nice to be back with family. And we're
right.
a little bit closer to football.
Yeah, just a little bit. Sounds
just,
good.
Just a smidge.
Cool. Now, stay right there. We're going to go right back to you. We're going to get to Ray, and then we're going to start off with Steve and then go back to Bakes. But, Ray, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Came on here and said what up to all my family and shit. Let's talk Giants football. That's all I got to say.
All right. Shout-outs to Ray, man. KGVR Capo. Shout-outs to Ray. Now, Steve, now, on the OTAs. Not a lot going on. I mean, I don't really get too caught up when it comes to the practice, but there's been a lot of good news, in particular, like Hernandez is really leaving a strong impact. And I talked a little bit about the Gettleman situation. There's kind of more of a off-the-field thing when it comes to his diagnosis on the lymphoma. But what is that was said to you as far as what did you think the Giants, how severe you think that could be? What's your thoughts on anything you've been hearing from the OTAs? Any concerns of other positions? Because the last where we left off on our last episode, you wasn't on. We were about to get into the safety depth, like the who's behind Darian Thompson and Michael Adams, guys like that, or behind Landon Collins. So anything you would like to go besides the points I brought up, then you, and then we could go to Bakes because Bakes has a lot to say, and the same thing for Worm.
So the first thing I will say is that the most important thing to me about OTAs is that no one gets hurt. That's the biggest takeaway. They haven't got any major injuries, so it's been a successful OTA. Everything else in terms of, oh, my God, look, Eli threw a great pass, and this guy made a great catch or whatever, it's OTAs. They're not hitting each other. They're not – I mean, it's just not – I'm not going to take too much out of it. I'm really not. I can't. I mean, I guess I can take something out of that. They seem to, like Barkley seems to at least show his skills in OTAs. But beyond that, you know, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, my God, this guy looked really good, so we're set. I mean, it's OTAs. It's not, you know, they're not hitting each other. So you can't take much out of it. I mean, there have been injuries in other camps, so that's the main thing. They haven't gotten injured. That's good. But I will say about the Gettleman thing, you know, they haven't announced what kind of lymphoma he has. I'm actually a pathologist, which means I look at slides under a microscope for a living and make diagnoses of things like lymphoma, although that's not my specialty. They have not said what kind of lymphoma he has. And you know, lymphoma is not – there are many, many, many different types of lymphoma, and they all have different prognoses and treatment regimens. But I will say just on a broad category – that he's not going to be, you know, if they're going to treat whatever he has aggressively, and I assume they will, he's going to be out of it for at least a few months. So, you know, I think it's a concern. I mean, I guess Abram's going to have to basically take over for him because, you know, it's not like, okay, he acquired the players, that's it. I mean, you know, the process, first of all, they're going to have to get more free agents. They're going to pick up people who get cut from other rosters. They have to decide who they're going to keep. All these things, you know, are the GM has you know, it's the GM and the coach together making these decisions. So, you know, I hope, I mean, obviously, you know, I hope Gettleman gets better and I'm praying for him. I hope everyone else is too. It will affect the Giants. I mean, it's not, you know, Abrams is basically going to be the GM for at least the next few months. I mean, he's not going to be, I mean, Gettleman's not going to be able to, I mean, on a little bit he can, but he's not really going to be able to, you know, be the day-to-day GM until he at least goes through the initial rounds of chemo and sees where he is. So, I mean, it is a concern, and I guess, you know, if they were grooming Abrams to be the GM, well, he's gonna have his trial under fire right now.
Exactly. That's kind of how I looked at it, because this is a huge domino effect. Now, first and foremost, we're gonna go to base, but first and foremost, like when it comes to this health and life situations like this, you want to wish the best for anybody. You want them to have a speedy and healthy recovery. And this will affect the Giants. Now, that's the second part. That's second most important aspect of this whole dynamic versus his own life. Hopefully that goes well. But this will affect anything that happens with the organization. Totally, that's exactly the points that I think Giant fans don't quite understand in its entirety, because certain moves that the general manager probably would have made, now it's got to go to Abrams. And I think we all can agree for the most part that Abrams was he was going to be the general manager in training until Gettleman was moving on from this job. It was pretty much Abrams' job to lose in the future. But like you said, he's going to be hands-on right away. And how he's going to play is going to be real interesting, how this team's going to be developed. Biggs, what's your thoughts? And you said you had a lot that you want to bring to the table. It doesn't have to be the topics that we already discussed, OTAs, no injuries, all other stuff. And then we go to Worm and then Ray. Is Biggs out there? The mute button. All right, I guess he's not there. Biggs, we'll come back to you. I can't hear you right now. So let's go to Worm. Worm, what's your thoughts, Worm, on the situation with the general manager, Dave Gettleman, and then also your thoughts on OTAs? And I have a question for you after that when you're done. Matter of fact, I'll even ask that right now, Worm, if you hear me. The Gettleman, the OTAs, the schedule. And what about that Giants town hall earlier this week at Beacon Hall? I know you kind of keep your ears to that. So what's your thoughts on that, Worm?
Prayers are with, you know, Dave and his family, you know, hoping for a speedy recovery. I could see them grooming Abrams, you know, later on, you know, maybe succeed, you know, Gettleman. What I would do at this point is, you know, he's not experienced, you know, he's more of a contract person. You know, that's more or less how I see him with the Giants. He's always worked the contracts. What I would do at this point right now is bring in Ernie as a, you know, somebody for Abrams to lean on, get knowledge from and, you know, to get advice from and bounce ideas off of. Bring him in, you know, bring Ernie in just on a temporary basis as an advisor, you know, as he helped, you know, Mara with the, you know, with the GM search. Because Ernie has a great football mind. And he does a hell of a job, you know, building rosters. If I'm John Mara, I would throw it out there and, you know, talk to him and, you know, just have him in on a temporary basis just to help out with day-to-day operations. And leave, you know, Abrams where he's right now more comfortable at working the contracts. And, you know, it'll be a good teaching moment for, you know, Abrams to work with, you know, of course. TAs. It still blows my mind, and it still baffles me that Numbnuts Rojas is still kicking for this team. How much longer are we going to have this guy on the roster? He's horrible. I mean, he's not clutch at all. You know, I would think within the next week or two, being how he kicked already in OTAs in non-pressure situations, he already showed last season he's inconsistent. And special teams hurt the Giants a lot over the last several years. I see the Giants bringing in a veteran kicker because there is no way in hell that this kid is going to be on the roster come September. He can't be there. So what was your question for me?
Did you hear anything or watch any of the footage at the Giants town hall earlier this week with the players and the owner? Did you see that?
I saw like bits and pieces of it. The one thing that really stuck out to me, and you know, this is because I love what he's done for the Giants, is when, you know, Eli got that standing up, everybody was on their feet. And, you know, when you know, Mara was talking about, you know, Eli's, you know, he's been, you know, healthy every day here, and the whole fan base that was there just started, you know, booing out Mara for that bullshit decision that they did last year when they screwed Eli. You know, and Mara's response was, I know, I get it. You know, it was, you know, it was a touching moment. You know, and it shows how much respect that this guy has in the NFL and not just with the Giants. I really didn't get to hear too much because, you know, I was bouncing back and forth between a couple of things, but is there something you wanted me to touch on?
Yeah, because I thought the fans gave a huge standing ovation to Eli Manning. They gave it, like you said, they gave him a huge standing ovation because there was that whole, the fans were getting a little riled up about he really didn't lose his consecutive game streak. It was not because of injury. It was because of your decision. And Mara kind of got booed for that. And then Eli had came out a little bit later, and he got a lot of love. But Mara did kind of back him up. He was kind of saying that Eli's not done. This is our quarterback. So he kind of gave him the stamp of approval throughout the Giants town hall. So, you know, some of the players that came out there, including Eli, having that dialogue. So we're going to come back to you because I got other questions, and then go to Ray. Ray, what about you? What's your thoughts on the general manager, if you have any? Also on OTAs, anything you want to add from the Giants town hall? Now, matter of fact, before we go to Ray, Worm, the kicker situation, because that's actually one of the topics I did bring to the table. What other free agent kickers out there do you want to bring? Because you got, with Rojas, who the guys that he has right now in camp, and I think that's a huge issue, not only just the him, like who his backup, Marshall Cohen. Now, what are the free agent kickers out there? I mean, who are the other free agent kickers? I mean, Blair Walsh is available, I think. Or who do you want? Mike Nugent? I mean, he's a little older, longer than two. Who's out there that you want? What veteran kicker?
I haven't really seen the full list because, I mean, I've been so busy with baseball season working games. If Nugent is there, I've always loved him. I know he's older. I get it. But you know what? At this point, you need a veteran. You know, you got to sign a guy. because this kid's proved last year. You got to have some type of competition. You go out, find a couple of veterans, let them battle it out. But I don't see Rojas as the answer. I really don't. You know,
gotcha.
I mean, they let Ling go because of performance. They traded Weatherford because of performance. How is this kid any different? If Nugent's there, I'd take a shot off. I've always loved his leg. He's always been, you know, for the most part, accurate. And I think he would be able to come up, you know, with clutch kicks in pressure situations. As far as the bullet kickers go, I really haven't honestly paid attention lately to it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Worm. Let's go to Ray. Ray, what about you? And then we'll go back to Biggs. Ray, your thoughts on Gettleman and whatever backup plan the Giants have at general manager. What about the safety? We talk a little bit about safety depth, if you want to touch that area, the kicking situation, OTAs overall in general, and anything else you would like to add, and then we'll go to Biggs.
Well, I sent all my prayers to Dave Gettleman, man. That's crazy. That's awkward how, you know, he just got this job and that hit him, man. So that's a big hurt, big hit to us Giants fans. But as far as the kicker goes, Rojas got to go. I agree with Worm. He got to go. I don't know who. There's plenty of kickers out there. I don't care who they sign. But as long as they're more accurate than this dude, before it. OTAs, as far as OTA goes, I've been hearing a lot of good things. Beckham, you know, he's not training as yet. He's not getting hit, but they're saying that he's progressing, which is a good thing, you know. And this team, I mean, I don't know, man. There's a lot of question marks, but we will see as the season goes on and as the OTAs go on. That's all I got to say.
What's the question marks that you have? You said you had there's a lot of question marks. Which question marks you want?
My question mark is at safety.
Yep.
Not Collins. It's Darian Thompson. You know what I'm saying? I think Adams, man. Adams should be the starter, man. Darian Thompson last year, I had high expectations for him, but he failed me. He didn't do nothing. So I feel that Adams should take the role because ever since his rookie year, he got undrafted. He was on draft. He got signed on draft, and he was producing more than him. So I feel like Adams, that should be Adams' job, man, to keep. So they should pull him out there with Collins, man. I think that will be a great duo in the backfield.
All right, cool, Ray. Thank you very much. Let's go try to get back to Biggs, and then we'll go back to Steve. Oh, I'll say something, and then go back to Steve. But Biggs, are you back with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, yeah, there's a lot of topics on the table, and anything else you'd like to add? I mean, we were talking about Gettleman's health, what the domino effect. I first and foremost, I hope he gets to a speedy recovery, but after that, the issues of running the team, who, you know, with Abrams and possibly who could run away, and Worm kind of suggested Ernie, of course, he has kind of like a right-hand man, a consultant. What about the kicking situation with Rojas that's been brought to this table, the Giants town hall that happened earlier this week with Eli Manning. I mean, not just Eli Manning, but John Mara and the players, and they're taking the Q&A session. And then anything else, Beckham Jr.'s status of getting back healthy. Ray has questions on the safeties as I do. And anything else you'd like to bring to the table or any questions?
Well, for the town hall, I didn't really hear about that. I've been kind of off the grid. With work stuff. But in terms of Gettleman, I heard about that. I'm real sorry to hear about anybody being sick. You know, cancer is a terrible situation that not only is going to disrupt him and the Giants organization, but his family. And we wish him a speedy recovery. It might be Abrams. It might be a GM by committee, or they might bring in a consultant. So hopefully they'll get that ironed out, because when you start getting treatment, it's not going to really be that effective. And he should probably really put 100% of his focus on getting healthy. But maybe running the team might be something to keep his mind off his ailment. I don't know. That's their decision to make. I wish him well. In terms of OTA, I hear things are going well. I've been hearing a lot of good things about Ingram, a lot of good things about Hernandez. They said he'd been in 5 fights, and he's setting the tone, being one of those big, tough, nasty hog mogs. And that's what we need. We need that toughness and that nastiness, you know. You know, every football player is not a goody-two-shoes. You need some guy that's going to, you know, knock you down and step on you. You know, not in a malicious way, but, like, you know, got to be nasty and have that edge. You have to have that edge. Especially on offense, we don't have that edge. Eli, you know, Eli's healthy. Beckham, they're really taking Beckham and Collins in the means of bringing them on slowly because they want them to be available for the start of the season because we don't want to lose them or waste them in preseason like what happened last year. So, I mean, someone like Beckham, he gets his reps in practice, but he really doesn't need any time during, you know, preseason. You know, he does what he does. And Collins, the same way, he want to bring them on slowly and let some of the youngsters and people who don't, you know, that are new to the system get their reps in. I mean, they have to practice as well, but we want them healthy. When you're a playmaker, you know, practice is just fine-tuning. It's not a necessity. Special teams, I've been crying about special teams for the last couple of years because not only with the kicking game, the return game, the punt return, the kick return game has been abysmal. We haven't been able to make any significant impact. Sometimes the coverage is probably the strongest part. Rojas is a good talent, but he lacks confidence and he's not accurate. That's an issue. He needs someone, maybe a veteran, like how they brought in Stewart, but some veteran wide receivers to help mentor him, but also, you know, challenge him and compete with him. There should be no one getting a spot that they can't earn in practice, right down to Eli Manning. If someone else behind him can play, they got to play. It's whoever's best suited to play should play. It shouldn't be any favorites, any, oh, I'm a veteran, I deserve this spot. Rojas hasn't done anything to say he deserves to be a starting field goal kicker because he has been terribly inaccurate, and that's a huge issue. Our special teams, to me, is a mess. And I saw somewhere, we were having some banter on social media, and somebody was like, oh, do you agree with putting the young guy back there? You know what I'm saying? I was like, no. You know, I have flashbacks of when they put Seahorn back there in preseason, and the first thing that happened, he blew his Achilles. I was like, no, his knee. I was like, no, we definitely don't want Barkley back
definitely
there.
Right.
We don't want Barkley back there. We don't want Odell Beckham unless it's like a game situation where it's a punt return deep. You know, we're deep in territory and we can make a play. That's different. But on a regular everyday basis, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, I'm just ready for a preseason to start and to get everybody in there and, you know, hopefully everybody can stay considerably healthy and get the season going. So eager for that and eager to see how they're going to address these special teams. I also have some concern about, you know, Darian Thompson. His playmaking ability wasn't that great, and hopefully there's someone that can compete for that position. And because, like I said, no one should gain any position that they can't compete for in practice. Eager to see how Eli Apple will perform. You know, he's got a clean slate from management. He seems to be back good in with the DB core playing along and, you know, has a better attitude. Need to see how that's going to transpire in the field. I think he has talent. It's just like I said a couple of weeks ago, his ball skills when the ball's in the air is what's lacking. So hopefully the coach will improve that. So defensive back coach needs to work on that, or whatever the case is. So I'm just excited to see what's going to happen. Those are the things that I'm paying attention to. And, you know, eager to see Barkley out there, you know, how many snaps he's going to get, how involved. I think he's going to be very involved in the passing game. That's my feeling. I want to know how the front liners and stakeholders feel about him in the passing game. I think he's going to get a lot of receptions out of the backfield. They might line him up certain times in the slot or some gadget plays. So that's my feeling and my hope that they're going to just put him all over. So
I personally agree. Put him everywhere. You put him inside, You can put them in the H, like when almost in the H back position to come out of the backfield. Put them in the slot. You can put them as a Z. You can put them anywhere. He can run routes.
Yeah, because he's going to be a matchup nightmare for not only a linebacker but for a defensive back, because he's probably bigger than most defensive backs, and he's as strong as most linebackers.
You know what he reminds me of? This was off the show, and this is no bromance. I was talking to some like Giant fans when I was away. He reminds me a little bit like a 2.0 version of Marshall Faulk, and that's no bullshit. Like when I say that, everybody remembers Marshall Faulk. He was the ultimate,
absolutely
running back, catch receiver type running back, and he's, I would say, 10 times better than Tiki, but he's got explosiveness that Tiki doesn't have. And Tiki was a hell of a running back, man. I mean, I can remember those 200-yard running games clinched against the Redskins before we went to the playoffs versus the Eagles. I mean, Tiki had some monster games once he cleaned up the fumbling those last couple of years in like 2005.
He was a supreme talent.
I think he's got them all beat.
Yeah, so I just hope that it transpires. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Tomlinson, you're talking about Dalvin Tomlinson about getting the position?
No, what does that do? Thompson. The guy that they put alongside. Thompson.
Yeah. Okay, let's get Steve's thoughts.
I was not impressed with him at all.
You know what? He's tricky to me because he had all the upside. I'm going to go back to Steve in L.A. real quick. But I'm going to say this real quick. Darian Thompson, to me, I'm not giving up on him. I'm with Rayson. I am with Rayson. Like, Adams kind of got the position due to the Darian Thompson injury, like, week three, two seasons ago. So Adams, from there, in his rookie year, just took it and ran with it. And then they kind of played the politics role, like Darian Thompson got to get his job back because he didn't lose the job. He lost it because of injury. But you know what, man? I like Darian Thompson. You guys, I've always talked very, very positive when we got him from Boise State in the draft. And he had a bad year last year. There's no ways around it. And sometimes I think it does take like a full year to get acclimated, to get back into the flow of football. So the jury is out for me still on Darian Thompson. I'm not going to ready to give up. However, I am all aboard with, like, Adams has done his job, and I think it should go to him. Not to say they can't interchangeably split snaps, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could always put them at, 66-33, 65-35 as far as snaps. Adams has earned that position, man. I would go with Andrew Adams, to be honest with you. And I like Darian Thompson. Now, other guys that's in camp that I think you guys should take a look at is Sean Chandler. We talked about him about 2-3 weeks ago. He's another guy that's going to be battling to try to get into a roster spot at that safety position too. So you can't count out some of these undrafted free agents as well. You talked about – who else did you talk about? I already mentioned Gettleman. We talked about who else did we talk about? The kicking situation. Oh, the kick return situation, because Banks had mentioned it. You know, I think what they're going to do, I don't see Barkley going back there, and I don't see Odell Beckham Jr. going back there, unless, like you said, it's going to be like one of those we need a spark type of deal. Somebody like the guy Raymond, what's his name? The guy Raymond that came over from the Carolina Panthers. That I think because of the contract Gettleman signed him for, it was a multi-million-dollar contract. That the Giants brought him in for a reason. Unless he stinks up the joint in training camp in July and August, I think he's going to be returning kicks and punts, or it's going to be somebody like a Sterling Shepard, somebody who's more lower to the ground, not no big receiver, nothing like that. You need somebody who's shifty, quick. So I think somebody like a Caleb Raymond, the guy that came over from the Carolina Panthers, that's actually a Dave Gettleman guy. So those guys are going to be returning kicks. Now, I think Worm brings up a good point with the kicking situation on Rojas, and you guys kind of – we saw all the bad kicks, and he's not as accurate. You know, there's not a lot of good veteran kickers out there, man. Nugent, I mean, you might have to go with Nugent to bring him in, I mean, for competition-wise. The punter situation, I know that they brought in a punter earlier this week. That was actually Taylor Simmock that actually got cut by the Minnesota Vikings. So Schumer brought him in because of his familiarity. So Riley Dixon is going to be one of those other punters as well. Now, Steve, I'm going to go back to you. Any other additional thoughts? You hear everybody's points with the kicking, the safeties, the running back, and how you want to use them, all the other stuff. You know, you stay away from the injuries and all that, and then we'll go back down to Worm, Ray Bakes, and so on and so forth.
I beat on this drum during my stakeholder spotlight, and I'll beat it again. One of the big failings last year when the season was lost and there was no point in winning games. I mean, you try to win the games, but, you know, they weren't exactly – the winning game wasn't going to do anything for them – was not running Rosas out there every opportunity they had and letting him kick. How many third and – how many fourth downs from the 30 to the 50 were they punting or going for it for no reason? They weren't – the games didn't matter. They could have run that guy out there and let him get experience. And now they're paying for it because now they're sitting there going, well, we got to get one of these other kickers who these free agent casts offs, or, you know, they brought in someone else, or hope that Rosas gets better. They could have figured this out last year, whether or not they had something or not, but they didn't, you know, and that's everyone in the Giants organization is at fault. I'm not ready to give up on this guy. You know, he has a leg. He was 3 for 3 in field goals 50 yards or greater. He did have one of the worst percentages. I think he had the second worst field goal percentage in the NFL last year. They were only 25th in attempts, in field goal attempts. So, you know, it would have been nice if they had been like in the top 10, then I would be more secure about whether he was good or not. But that's neither here nor there. That's over with. I'm looking at this website that Nugent is still a free agent. You got Nick Novak also, Blair Walsh was also out there. So, I mean, I think they're going to have to bring in one of those three, or if there's some other veteran, they're going to have to bring them in. And, you know, I think it's really a question of do they think that they, if they're trying to win now and they're all in on winning now, then probably they're going to have to go to one of those veterans. If they're kind of like, you know, this is a rebuilding year, I mean, they're not going to say that. But if they're thinking this is going to be a rebuilding year, then you think about, you know, letting Rosas have another shot at it, or the other guy that they brought in into the OTAs. In terms of the other positions, you know, I think their schemes were so bad the last few years that I'm not going to judge a lot of these performances. And also the locker room was bad, and, you know, people were fighting each other. I mean, how many cornerbacks were suspended last year? I'm going to reserve judgment a little bit on these guys, you know, guys like Thompson and Adams, and not, you know, say, oh, well, we saw what they were last year. I don't think we really saw what any of these guys were last year. I think there was so much dysfunction on this team that you can't, you know, you can't hold that against those guys. But at the same time, as you said before, you know, I don't know, you know, this whole thing, Darian Thompson, you know, played a couple of games. And all of a sudden he was like, well, as soon as he gets back from injury, he's going to be, you know, starter, he's going to be great. He hasn't earned that. So I think it's just going to be, I mean, you know, none of these guys have earned that. I mean, only Landon Collins is the only guy that's earned a starting spot. The rest of these guys, I mean, they need to have competition and see who's going to be, you know, see who earns it and not go by whatever past performance or past ideas. And, in terms of the run game, in terms of the return game, I agree. You know, I don't want to see any of the starters back there. I'm okay with a Beckham returning a punt in like special situations where they need something. Definitely not returning kickoffs in any case. Especially, I mean, they're always tinkering with the kickoff rules. I mean, they're tinkering with this year where the kicking team can't have a running start, and they're not even having two-person wedges anymore. And who knows what that, you know, if that's going to actually, you know, cause fewer injuries or more injuries. So I'm kind of even more skeptical about putting anyone out there in kickoff return, who isn't someone who's completely expendable. So, I'm glad Harris isn't there anymore. I mean, they paid him so much money to really, you know, I mean, I guess he was good at being a gunner, but I mean, he really wasn't just, I mean, that was one of the silliest contracts that they gave him so much money just to be a special teams player, essentially. Hopefully, I mean, they talk about these guys that Gettleman brought in being good special teams guys, so hopefully one of them will shake out. And, you know, hopefully with a normal scheme, unlike, you know, having a better coach than Quinn, hopefully that will help as well.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Worm, anything else you'd like to add? And then go back to Randon Bakes.
Yeah, you know, there is one thing that I like that Shermer did, and I know I'm going to be in the minority with this. I love the olive branch that he extended to Tiki Barber, and I love that he opened the door for a chance for Barkley to speak with him, give him career advice, and help him transition into the NFL. Tiki was one of our top backs for years. Take aside the nonsense, and you know, everybody can put their butt hurt feelings away with what he said about Eli and Coughlin, okay? And, you know, his, you know, marital affairs and all that. Just put it to the side and look at it on a professional basis. The dude was a beast. He won us games. You know, once Coughlin got his fumbling problem put together, his career was phenomenal. And that's a great back. They have similar running styles. And this is going to be a great opportunity for Barkley to learn from one of our great running backs that we've had. They both play almost the same game. But Barkley's, you know, he's a freak in nature. This kid is like, whoa. But at least, you know, with the similar styles and running ability and the star power that both of them are going to have, you know, with the Giants, Tiki's a hell of a person to be learning from on the, you know, in between the white lines. That's going to be a phenomenal, you know, teacher for Barkley to have. You know, besides having the veteran presence of Jonathan Stewart on the team, he's got two backs that he can look at and learn a hell of a lot from. And I absolutely love that Shermer's bringing Tiki back into the fold. It may not be an everyday thing, you know, just, you know, here and there. That's great. You know, that's reaching back in the Giants' past history to one of the, you know, great players that we've had and letting him teach the young guys. Absolutely love it. As far as what I'm, you know, seeing so far, the reports coming out of camp, I love the feistiness of this offensive line. I really do. I am so happy that Will Hernandez fell to us at 34. I was praying all night the round one in the draft that he was going to drop to the second round. This kid is going to be an all-pro guard for the next 10 years. And Soldier, that guy is bringing a veteran presence that we haven't had on that offensive line. I love how he took Eric Flowers to the side, and the two of them worked hand drills and foot drills at the end of practice after everybody was done. That's the type of leader that this offensive line has not had, you know, since, you know, Dave Deal and Sean R. Howard. They haven't had that type of leader on that offensive line that's going to say, hey, let's go work on hand movement. Let's go work on hand placement. Let's go work on our steps, work on our footwork, you know, work on our hips. That's something they haven't had. And it's going to be a hell of a teaching experience that Flowers is going to get, you know, from Soldier. And, you know, I think Flowers really got humbled. You know, he had to put his, you know, butthurt feelings away, you know, after they, you know, signed what they signed. But Flowers is going to be in his natural position at right tackle. I expect him to really rebound and play great. Brett Jones, we know what we have. He's young. He's talented. I like him. Soldier, we know what we have right there. That's our franchise left tackle. And, you know, as far as the other guard spot, you know, with Big O, that guy's a mauler. He's got a mean streak in him. And that offensive line, once they gel together, it's going to be something special. Eli's going to have all the time in the world to throw the ball down once that line gels. You know, as far as the OTAs, it doesn't really mean much for me. All I want to see is that, you know, the team's building a bond together. They're coming together as a family. They're getting their technique down. I don't care, you know, that's all I care about. You know, get the system down, get the discipline in place, and look like a football team. Look like professionals. You know, don't look like a friggin' three-ring circus like we've had the last year and a half. Look like a professional football team ready to win games. Once you put the pads on, and you play a little knock-knock, Then we're going to see who really wants to play and who's really here. That's when we can really start evaluating everything. But so far from what I've seen, comments from players, comments from the coaches, comments from the front office, I'm liking what I'm seeing. It's given us that hope that we haven't had. You know, we're going into, you know, training camp with some sense of hope. We haven't had that. And I'm thrilled and happy with what I'm seeing. That's basically it.
Thank you very much, Worm, on that, man, on your points. Ray, anything else you'd like to add? We've got about a couple more minutes, and we'll get back to Bakes and then wrap up. Go ahead, Ray.
Listen, Steve from L.A., I love you and all, but that's one thing you said that struck a nerve was the whole Rojas thing last year. How the hell are we supposed to put this dude in when the team lost confidence in him because he can't make field goals? He cannot make field goals. So this is the reason why last year they didn't put him in. It got to the point where they didn't put him in because they had no trust in him because he can't make field goals. So this is why he didn't get in certain when we was on 30-yard line, 20-yard line because the dude can't make field goals. So that's why he wasn't in and they didn't put him in. You know what I'm saying? Because if I was a head coach and I had a field goal kicker that can't make field goals, I lose my trust in him myself. So this is why he didn't get in and all. And me, honestly, Rojas got to go. He's a bum. We need a better kicker because there's going to be certain situations during the season where we need a field goal to win. And if you can't make the field goal, guess what? You shouldn't even be on the team. Period. And that's all I got.
All right, Ray. Thank you very much. Bakes, you have the floor for the next couple of minutes, and then we'll wrap up. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, yeah, so the whole, you know, Shermer bringing in Tiki, I'm not too fond of that. And the reason why is I was a big Tiki Barber fan. I thought he was a great dynamic player for us. And I think what happened, and just long story short, that he got jealous of Eli. That's why he did what he did, made those comments. And it kind of crushed our season, but we turned it around and we won the next year. Hopefully he matured from that because his career kind of went in the tank. His whole post-career, football career, went in the tank shortly after with, you know, marital issues and he's losing his job, and they're bringing him in fast forward. Now they're bringing him in to be a mentor for Saquon. I can understand that. I just, for what he did, of course, anything can be mended. Of course, Coughlin is gone.
Who's the better mentor? Quick question. Who's the better mentor, Beckham Jr. or Tiki Barber for Saquon Barkley?
Honestly, let's keep it 100. I would say Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is a distraction, but it's not like he's going out intentionally to be a distraction. Now he does his little foolishness on the internet and dancing and doing all that other shit. What Tiki did was on purpose. The way he quit in the middle of the season, said he was going to retire. He could have waited till the end of the season to do it and said those things about Coughlin and Eli. They're never going to win with Eli and stuff like that. That is not a sign of a veteran. That was not a veteran move, in my personal opinion. So, I would say Odell over him. But in this world, you got to give people chances. They brought him in. There's no doubt that once he fixed his fumbling issue, he was a dynamic player. You know what I'm saying? He was dynamic at his speed. He was great at the backfield, all that stuff. He was great. He was our go-to. And then we brought in Eli, and I think some of that spotlight got taken from him, and I think that was the issue in my personal opinion. But, you know, he bring him in. If he works, it helps to keep Barkley grounded, a young dude. I mean, you know, keep him grounded for all the traps that, you know what I'm saying, New York City and Tri-State area has to offer, and, you know, keep his nose clean on the outside of football, then great. You know, all the more better. Personally, I'm just not a fan of it. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. So hopefully it works out. Other than that, man, I'm just really ready to see what the new look New York Giants are going to look like. You know, I'm ready to see this 3-4 defense. I want to see what's going to look like, where the sacks are going to come from. I'm ready to see this O-line, like they were saying about Solder working with Flowers. You know, that I think because we were so young, lost a lot of those veterans of his key spots, the mentorship and hey Rook, or hey new guy, come here, let's work on this, let's do this, let's work on passing, let's work on your footwork, your handwork, whatever. That's great. That is totally great. Now, hopefully that's the kind of bond that's going to be grown instead of finger pointing and saying you're not doing your job. Let me help you be better. So that'll be great. You know what I'm saying? But hopefully that'll translate to results on the field. Other than that, I mean, we still need to fix, you know, like everybody said, we need to fix the special teams. I've been saying this for a long time, and it's like it's never a priority, but we can win games that way. And you said you're going to bring in that guy from Carolina. They bring that guy from Carolina. He'll be the return guy. That's great. But we still need a kicker. I don't know if Rojas, his first year, he worked out his kinks and he's better. I don't know. But, you know, I don't think we can win with him right now. You know, if we keep him on the roster and let him learn and practice and bring in a veteran. And I want to see how Eli is going to look, too. Eli didn't have such a great year. And see how he can bounce back from that. You know, if we give him some good protection, I think he's going to be solid for us. You know, I never saw Eli as a numbers guy, as crushing the league, you know, having big numbers. But I think if you give him an opportunity to make plays, he'll make plays. And when he gets into the playoffs, we all know what happens.
All right, guys. Yeah, we're out of time. We're actually over time right now. So for Stephen L.A. and, of course, based on the frontliners, NYG frontliners on the Grand Frontliners NYG on Twitter, Ray and Worm, this episode is going to be on the website. We'll be back next Thursday for another dialogue here on the Big Blue Roundtable. Sangre azul, bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.